Namine Maom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Utale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachanine Nivisesa Sunyavadi Vaskasyaditatanine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvesesa Sunyavadi Vaskasyaditatanine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Tila Prabhupada Jai Radha Gopinatha, Radha Gopinatha, Radha Gopinatha, Radhe. Go Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. With great happiness in my heart, I'm greeting you for this third day of our little seminar, The Essential Principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I must admit that today is a day which is in my eyes, I feel it's a high. I mean, it's not good to say to your lectures there's any highlight in it. But let me say, I'm entering this class with the greatest amount of appreciation for the different points which I have been gifted with. I would like to summarize yesterday's class again. Yesterday we talked on mind and sense control, and we gave an amazing or astonishing example of Srila Ramananda Roy's extraordinary aloofness from material attachment. Ramananda Roy's example will not be, or should not be imitated, or it's not possible to imitate it for devotees, for us. But it still teaches us an important point, that by absorption on the transcendental platform, the material attachments they go away. And there's a purport where Prabhupada says in an almost cryptic way, detachment means attachment. What? And he explains that detachment from Maya is only possible if you have attachment to Krishna. I think it makes sense. So we have heard yesterday, seen a do list, how to fill our, give our senses spiritual impressions. First and foremost, the mind has to be fed with spiritual or transcendental impressions, and then we fill, use the example of the hotel, we fill the hotel of our perception so much full with spiritual guests that there is no room any longer for the material impressions. They will glide down from us almost like water drops who glide down the protective feather dress of the duck. The duck is not disturbed by the water, so, and the water does not soak him or do anything. So this was a little bit the subject matter of yesterday. Today we will enter into the third principle, which is important by the illuminate by the devotees. It's forbearance. Forbearance. I will turn to Omila Matiji. Have I said it properly? Improper? Almost. Can you say it in good English? It is all right. Forbearance. Also tolerance, we can say. Let us first hear a few definitions about tolerance, so that we know what it means in this context of the spiritual life. Surely some of you have already their own conceptions, and maybe it's good to just have, before we hear the definitions, to hear a little bit from you what you associate with the word forbearance or tolerance. Just some brief definitions, please. Avrita Devi.
Inner peace.
Mm-hmm. Tolerance. What is it? Omila?
Seeing everything as Krishna's
gifts. Uh-huh. When you are tolerant, what does it mean? Yes. I couldn't acoustically hear you. Uh-huh. Accept what comes your way, also the bad things. Mm-hmm. Ananda. Vrindavan patience, yes. So the women have learned more tolerance than the men. The men are all silent. This tells something about our sociological state of
determination.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Our Maharajis have learned tolerance, and our tolerance is a very difficult subject. The man, we never had to learn it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked about the grass. Mm-hmm. To be humble and tolerant. Yes. Wonderful. Very nice. Dobro. So, my dear boys and girls, please listen to this. Tolerance, says Srila Prabhupada, tolerance means that one should be practiced. Listen to the word practice. To bear insult and dishonor from others. When I read this, we should practice to bear insult and dishonor from others. I was first of all a little, how do you practice this? And I mean, when someone insults me, I just close my ears because I can't tolerate it. But here it says we should be practiced to bear insult and dishonor from others. I was researching a little bit in the Bhagavatam, and I found a beautiful verse which you might like to note down, the number where it is. It's in the 8th canto, 19th chapter, text 25 to 26. There, these are two verses. It says, material existence causes the discontent of desires. In other words, if you are in material existence, you are bound to become dissatisfied, which is... material existence causes the discontent of desires, which is the cause of continuation of material birth and death. If you have become dissatisfied, oh no, this is too much. This dissatisfaction will cause you to continue with your journey on the samsara tours. But one who is satisfied by what is attained through destiny is fit for liberation from material existence. Well, it says, you understand, this comes through destiny, let me be satisfied, this is what I deserve, so to say. Whenever I asked Radhanath Maharaj, how are you? He says, better than I deserve. So let us accept it, says here. That is my destiny. Let's be satisfied, not remain so unsatisfied. And then it talks about an ethical codex. A brahmana who is satisfied with whatever is providentially obtained is increasingly enlightened with spiritual power. But the spiritual power of a dissatisfied brahmana decreases. As fire diminishes in potency when water is sprinkled upon it. And beautiful instructions about tolerance. Once it's also in the 8th canto, no, in the 7th canto, there's a statement that if you are dissatisfied, you are like a pot, a clay pot, which has a crack so that all the water leaves the clay pot. Through dissatisfaction or continued bitterness, all your spiritual power, which is like water in a clay pot, will just drip out or leave you. Now, to become bitter or dissatisfied is something which cannot be avoided in the material existence, because it is the material existence itself which always causes the dissatisfaction or frustration of our desires. It is, for instance, my desire was that for this class I would have a minimum of 200 listeners, and then I came and heard, oh, not so many are here, and almost I wanted to turn away to another summer camp where I would get a bigger audience, but I said, be tolerant. It was, actually, this example is not so well taken. Hare Krishna. I think you know what I mean. You cannot always have what your mind desires as an ideal. It is material nature. It's not working that your mind's desire are fulfilled. Material desire, material nature is working that you get your karma and that you slowly get frustrated and detached from material existence. Now, to be tolerant when dissatisfying circumstances come implies or brings with it another very important quality. It's the quality of forgiveness. We human beings suffer the most from swords made of flesh. We don't suffer so much from iron or steel swords. Yeah, I hope it's the right word. It's a no, the heavy words of those who are near and dear to us, our friends, family members, peers, school friends or school colleagues, can hurt us so much. This tongue is such a sharp sword to hurt someone who. That steel sword is not as cutting as the words spoken by a near and close person. Have you experienced? Oh. I can't continue this relationship. Oh. Why can you say this again? Yes, very, very heavy. So you need to learn, if you want to learn tolerance, you need to learn the quality of forgiveness also, which releases, which heals the wounds cut by the fleshy tongue, the fleshy sword. If you want to be make advancement in spiritual knowledge, there will always be insults and dishonor from others. This is to be expected because material nature is made like this. And you need to therefore equip yourself with tolerance and forgiveness. And this needs to be practiced. If you would ask, if I would ask maybe Radha Raman to make 15 push-ups now, here, don't worry, he might be able to do 3.5. Because he is not practiced to do this. Others who are practiced can do without effort 20, 25, 50. You need a practice also in tolerance. If you are not practiced in tolerance and forgiveness, you will very easily become upset in this material world. Also very easily upset in an institution where different people gather together with who are bound to have different viewpoints. Therefore, I will let me read to you again Prabhupada's wonderful definition, which I hope will make a little bit more... how to say, will now be easier understood. Tolerance means that one should be practiced to bear the insult and dishonor from others. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this very important principle through his dear devotee Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was empowered to almost inconceivable degree with the power of forbearance. See, Haridas Thakur, wherever he went, he got insults and dishonor. The Muslims did not appreciate him because he chanted Hare Krishna, which they considered to be a that he was converted from Islam to Hinduism. And the Brahmanas did also not like him because they thought he is a Muslim and he's chanting Hare Krishna, this is our religion. And in this way, all quarters of society insulted and dishonored the poor Haridas. But Haridas was a child of ecstasy. He walked on the banks of the Ganga near Fulia, dancing and chanting, sometimes stumbling. Sometimes he could not speak any longer because he was overwhelmed by the strong love of Godhead. And because of his tremendous spiritual purity, many people who met him were immediately uplifted and chanted also. The Qazi, it's something like an Islamic judge, observed this and finally went to the king and said, this is too much, this saint has also he didn't say saint to Haridas, this renegade converted Muslim has also started to convert other Muslims to this Hindu practice. We must imprison him and convert him back. So the king ordered an arrest. One day Haridas Thakur was chanting, and then a good amount of pikemen were coming with these lances, and they just got him. And you know, I can imagine in my visionary eyes, maybe they went and held their lances before Haridas' throat from all directions and said, "You are arrested." Now, in the times, everyone knew what this meant. That meant usually the death penalty. It meant torture and then heavy things, you know. But Haridas Thakur joyfully said, "Yes, let us go." He was escorted to the palace of the king. On his way, he passed a prison where all the good and pious people of that area were imprisoned by the Muslim king. And the pious people saw Haridas and requested the gods, please bring him through this prison on his way. We want to have his darshan. And Haridas, this was arranged. Haridas came into the prison, and the people there started to say, please, please, give us your ashivad. Haridas looked at them with mercy in their eyes and said, may you always remain like this. The prisoner said, what type of blessing have you given to us? We don't want to be in prison. Our family waits for us. Haridas said, I didn't say, may you always remain in prison. I said, may you always remain like this. Meaning, may you always remain so eager for Krishna. In 2 or 3 days, you will be liberated from the prison. I have to make it short. This is actually very nice. Then he was brought before the king, who immediately became respectful because he could understand the spiritual stature or greatness of Haridas Thakur. And he immediately was moved by his saintliness. He said, my dear Haridas, you're a Muslim. Why have you become a Hindu? And you live like a low class Hindu. You're from a high family. You're from a good Muslim family. In which scriptures does it say that one should give up the Quran and become a Hindu? When Haridas heard this, he couldn't contain his laughter. Ha 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 ha. Now we see how strong the illusory energy of my Lord is, that you actually think there are different Lords. There's only one Lord whom you worship as Allah, who inspires every one of us to worship Him in a specific way. And he laughed and laughed about the foolishness of the king. This was not good for the ego of the king. He could understand the point, and with great, from the platform of intelligence, he said, Haridas, what you say is true. There is only one God who controls everyone and everything. But why don't you preach from the Muslim scripture? You can preach this from the Muslim scripture, and I will give you all facility. If you do not do this and continue to chant this Hindu mantra, then he is a Qazi. He has to safeguard the peace of the area. We will have to do some drastic action against you. Be clever. At this, Haridas Thakur gave his famous answer. He said, I can't stop chanting. Even if you cut my body in 1,000 pieces, I will continue to chant. So this time the answer of the king came from the raw human emotions. He turned to the Qazi and said, what should we do with this animal? Qazi was very happy about the turn of events. He was not so happy when he saw how Haridas had influenced the intelligence of the king. He said, beat him over 24 marketplaces, your majesty. That will drive his pride away from him. And he thought to himself, most probably he will be killed. You must know, in Muslim beating, I lived in Kabul and preached in Kabul for some time, and Prabhupada gave us a very nice letter. He felt so engladdened that we were in Kabul, and I learned a little bit, because you live in this in this society, what a beating means. This is only from the elbow, the slight beating. That's not so heavy. It hurts. This with a full arm really hurts. And this was the time of beating which was ordained for Haridas Thakur. The full arm beating. Don't know how many marketplaces anyone here would survive, but it's deadly. They were beating Haridas Thakur, and the people came to Haridas and came to the guards and tried to stop them. They said, I will marry my daughter to you. I will give all my property for you if you stop beating the saint. Another villager said, beat me, I'm much more sinful. This is a saint, can't you see? But the guards said, out of the way, and they carried him from marketplace to marketplace. While Haridas Thakur was just chanting the Maha Mantra and smiling at the guards in a very joyful way. The guard said, man, you are not a human. Do you know this? We will be slaughtered if you are giving us this trouble. What if we can't kill you? Then we will be killed. Haridas, very, very politely said, I'm very sorry that I caused you difficulty. He fell senseless. Apparently senseless to the ground. The guard said, they must have sweated because they have seen that Haridas Thakur was a saint. They carried him with great endeavor to the king's palace and threw him before the door, got the king and the Qazi. The king said, well, what should we do? We must put him in a grave now. The Qazi said, no, a grave is only for a good Hindu. He is not suited for this. Burn him. Then the Brahmana said, no, don't burn him. This is for a good Hindu, but he is not a Hindu. He is something in between. He cannot be cremated. Then the Qazi said, okay, let us throw him like garbage in the Ganga. Well, that's a very, very bad. So they brought Haridas Thakur into the Ganga. First they couldn't lift him because Krishna had entered him and he became heavy as a mountain, and no one could lift him up from the king's palace. It was not possible. But then Haridas Thakur revoked this heaviness, and he was brought and thrown into the Ganga. There he floated, and after some time, he joyfully awoke, came out of the water, and immediately went to the king's palace. He was fearless. Immediately he went to report, or I don't know. When the king saw him, he had already bad feelings. He said, oh, Haridas, we made a grave offense. You are clearly a great... And then he said a Muslim word for saint, which I don't know. Maybe a great Sufi master or whatever. You are really great. You can preach in my country. You can walk. You can do anything. Haridas smiled and went to the Brahmanas. And now it becomes very interesting. In this part of the story, you all know. It's very moving to hear it again. But now comes something which I feel is very important. The Brahmanas had heard about Haridas' persecution, and they asked him, Haridas, why did this happen? I think this is a question which we have asked several times in relationship to us. Why did I have to suffer? Why me? I'm so good. Isn't it? The Germans still now, the generation of my parents, do not understand what happened at the Hitler time. Why were we so much under a demoniac influence to act in a very bad way. It's very difficult for them to understand. And also, why did we lose the war? That is also there in some Germans. Why? Why? Devotees also have turned to Prabhupada. Why did I have to suffer? Please listen to Haridas Thakur's answer, which is very intriguing. He said, I heard so much blasphemy against the holy name, and because of my implication in this apparat, I had to go through this. Now when we hear this, is it, what? Haridas? What is he saying? He said he suffered because he made apparat. First thought is, did he just say it like this? Or is it properly translated? When we go to the text and find, yes, there's apparat, we begin to think. And our thinking expands the question, why all of a sudden is there in big letters, maybe I find an answer why I suffer. And by Krishna's mercy, although this very nice book has now come out, Sharad Darshini, it's the commentary to the 10th canto, and there you will find a very, very interesting new perspective to the suffering of devotees. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on a verse which should be the guideline for all devotees. This is, Prabhupada says, this verse must be our guideline while we go through this material world. Those of you who know this verse, kindly sing along with me. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunyana evatmakritam vipakam ritvakvapurbi vidadan namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadaya bhak. We will first hear the purport and then the text for certain dramatic reasons. In this verse, the process of bhakti is described. A devotee understands that the happiness and distress he undergoes due to performing bhakti and committing aparadas are special mercy from the Lord. It says here, by performing bhakti, you get happiness, and by performing aparadas, you get distress. It is like the father who sometimes makes his child drink milk, and sometimes make him drink bitter neem juice. This is for medical purposes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the father embraces and kisses his son, and other times he beats him. The devotee accepts whatever happens to him as the arrangement of the Lord acting for his benefit. The devotee thinks, the Lord certainly knows what is best for me, even if I don't know. Karma and time have no effect on a devotee, so this is Krishna's personal arrangement for me. Out of his mercy, Krishna sometimes gives me happiness and sometimes gives me distress, considering how to engage me in his service. In this life we are meant to be confronted either by the reactions of our karma or the reactions of our apparat. And the fact that this is so is love. Krishna loves us. And loving means to sometimes correct us, show us the way. The verse is very nice how a devotee should feel he should equip himself with tolerance and pray, "My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently," you could also say tolerantly, "suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim." Do you see? A devotee has simple faith in Krishna that what my Lord does is best, even if I now have to drink. In Radhakund, the Radhakund Vasi, when something doesn't work, they say, "Now Radharani has given us the neem treatment." This is how the Brij Vasis or the spiritual people in the Radhakund area discuss suffering. They don't say suffering, they say the neem treatment. It's bitter. But it's mercy, it cures you. It is neem you take for all disorders in this area of the body, between the hands. This is very, very good. So the law, we should have this faith in Krishna and be very patient. Our Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur suggests a prayer which we should pray to become more tolerant and more connected with the Lord. It's a prayer which you will find in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, 20th chapter, text 31st. And it says like this: "As a father, not waiting for the son's demand, does everything for the benefit of the son, please bestow upon me whatever you think is best for me." We say to Krishna, "Krishna, you are in charge here in my life. You know when it's time to give the sweets or when it's time to give the neem treatment. Please don't wait. Just give me what I need to have. You know what is best for me." A devotee will not pray, "Oh, my dear Lord, give me a Mercedes Benz," and so on. He will not pray like this. He will pray to Lord Krishna, "You know best. You have full freedom over my life." I mean, this is almost arrogant to say, but "you please give me the neem or the sandesh whenever you think it's good." Hare Krishna. Many years later, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed Haridas his divine opulences, he said to Haridas, "Haridas, do you remember when the rascals were beating you with strong whips?" Haridas was looking at the Lord, who was in the form of Lord Krishna, standing there, and he just nodded, and he said, "I came at that time with my Sudarshan Chakra to deliver you, but you prayed to me to forgive these rascals. What could I do at that time?" You know, they were beating. Not this was the wrong beating. And Haridas was just saying, "My dear Lord, please forgive them. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." And he was chanting like this. Internally, he was praying, "Forgive them." Christianity, we hear how Jesus said, "Oh, my Lord, forgive them," when they nailed them on the cross. "They don't know what they are doing." So Haridas was also praying like this, and Lord Chaitanya said, "What could I do? Couldn't throw my Sudarshan. Then I went and I came and I personally accepted the beatings on my back." And then he said with emphatic words, "I'm not lying." And he took away his chadar and he showed his back, and there on the back were the beating marks, the blood-drenched beating marks. What do you think? I'm not lying. Look, here's the proof. And he showed them. Ah, Krishna. We have much to learn. Haridas Thakur is the example of tolerance and also of forgiveness. He prayed while he was tortured. I would like to now give you a little practice how you can be very tolerant. In one previous lecture, I started to abuse my audience and see how they would react. But this I only do when I give a public lecture, not to devotees. I have already committed too many Vaishnava aparats. So I can't make with you a tolerance workshop now in the intense style, because you are much, you are holy people, so on. And, Publikumsbeschimpfung, they call it, to provoke your audience to the boiling point. But this is not, our style. But I would like you to first of all wake a little bit up. Okay. There is a very nice practice. When you are in an intense situation with someone, you can try to understand the person from his perspective. It's a technique which is taught also in our ISKCON self-improvement seminars which have been given, but it works very powerful if you in your mind's eye go to that person and try to see it his way. I once asked a dear God brother, I don't think he would mind to be quoted, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, who deals with a lot of difficult things in our movement, how to deal with when things are getting too difficult, everything is no longer understandable, and why did this person do this? And he said, an intellectual process which he does, he tries to see the person as data. Data means the informations which control a certain person. A computer, for instance, does its operations according to the programming which is in there. We all have a certain programming. We all act in ways which are programmed. Those who study psychology know how to act in order to get a certain reaction from the audience. We are very predictable, and those who are little on a higher level than us can immediately play around with our emotions, because they know this word triggers this reaction. It is predestined. So everyone who acts in the conditional field is unfortunately programmed by his experiences, by the three gunas, and cannot act in another way. And therefore, it is perfectly logical and understandable how a person acts. It is not something to be surprised with. It would be immature on our platform to be surprised with the action of the devotee. Or of the person. So it's very important if we can go into what is called the mokka, in Red Indian terminology you say, if you want to understand me, walk one day in my moccasins. What you can do is you can try as an exercise to go into the other person's perceptions, to take his glasses. If it's too difficult for you, could just ask to get the glasses of Yosef and look through them, and you would see, I can't really see through these glasses, but they work perfectly for Yosef. And if we get Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj's glasses, maybe we see Krishna. They work for him. All of us look through our different psychological glasses, and we see things differently. We are different. And it helps so much to see. It helps so much. I want to tell you a little story, which we talk in Germany. There was once a beautiful blonde lady who drove in the mountains, and she went around a curve. She came to a curve, and all of a sudden, before the curve, a wild pig walked over the street, and she just hit the brakes to not hurt the pig and not hurt her car also, and then continued driving and saw how another pig just came. So when she was just around the curve, she saw a jeep with two mountain climbers coming up, and who looked at her. And she started to scream, "Pig!" And the driver jeep, "I have not looked indecent. It just looked like you look at another car. Why did she call me pig? I'm not a perhaps. I find no desire in my heart at this moment except for climbing mountains." And bang, he hit the pig. He understood the word pig not in a warning way, but in an offensive. He thought, it's an offense. She has hurt me so much. I'm not at all like the other man. So we all look through our glasses, and therefore, he had this association when the word pig came to him. He didn't think of a pig and therefore ran into a pig. Hare Krishna. There are many, 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 many such stories which are used in psychology, but learn to tolerate. It's very important. First of all, you have to do it because you are in the material nature. And second of all, you will just be much more peaceful. One last comment on the science of tolerance. I have given you now one tip how to model your mind to be more tolerant. Let me ask you a question. From where do you think does the power or strength of tolerance come? When the insult or the disturbing thing comes to your mind, to your heart, when we are not so strong, it goes. We have no protection. It goes right into it, and we really suffer. But it takes some strength, like all of us, older devotees who are for a long time in Krishna consciousness. No, it takes some strength. From where do you get the strength to be tolerant? From the feeling of closeness to Krishna, yes. If we respect the other person, yes. From the holy name, we get the strength. From a balanced lifestyle, not so much vata. Not placing ourselves in the center. That's also very, what you say is very, very good tips. Yes, yes.
From having a plan before you get in the circumstances, what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And practice.
you need to have a plan before you get into a disturbing or possibly disturbing circumstance, and then practice your plan while being in the situation. Very good advices.
From humility.
From humility. From knowledge. These are very nice advices. I'm impressed by them. Yeah. I wanted to share with you an experience. A classical answer. But all your answers are very good and to the point. Is you get tolerance, the strength of tolerance by bhajan, means worshipping Krishna, coming close to Lord Krishna. Then you are satisfied. The reason why we are so easily upset is because we are not secure in ourselves, and we are not satisfied in ourselves. And this nagging dissatisfaction, this nagging insecurity makes us so fragile that when a little wind comes our way, then we begin to flutter in the wind our spiritual life begins to sputter like a candle who has gotten water on top of it. It's very important to be grounded in a relationship to Krishna, because that's really something which will stay with you wherever you go, and it will bring you a sense of well-being, a sense of security, a sense of being accepted. If I'm accepted by the Lord, then it doesn't matter. I think all devotees know this in a nucleus. See, we know this when we come, for instance, as when we are a little bit convinced as devotees, and we go outside and we see that people laugh about us. Like I went to one conference room, and there were a group of Belgian old men, and I was clearly something unusual for them, and I don't know if I did something unusual, but most probably we do always unusual things. They looked at me, all of them, the old people, and I looked back at them, and they laughed about me. Maybe the dress, or maybe I was animatedly discussing, and they laughed. Just heartily. They just thought me utterly strange and comedic. And I thought, well, I should just check if everything is all right. And I found my dhoti was still on. It was not after a kirtan, you know, of a lot of dancing. Sometimes one can come in a very embarrassing situation. I looked at the devotee who was with me, if he would also laugh at me. And then I thought, because I'm living now like this for so long, I'm perfectly normal. And then I looked at the people. And all of a sudden, I saw something. You know, they were old, and the old generation, and I also I had to laugh back at them. I was not hurt. I just thought it was so funny, the situation, because I could laugh just as heartily about these people, not in a condescending way. They were also not condescendingly laughing about. It was just. Because I felt secure. Yes, I'm with my family, and this is the way we dress, and it's all right. It's a old, what is it, Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya? It's all right. and so on. But you imagine now, the GBC, this is what we would exchange, the people who were standing there with the GBC, or the sannyasi ministry, or the my peers, my godbrothers, then I would be very much disturbed, because I couldn't feel the same feeling of security. These are our own people. If they laugh, maybe I'm doing something utterly wrong. But about the so when you're close, I wanted to give this example to show you. When you're close with your with Krishna life, with your life with Krishna, oh, you can be very tolerant. Let the people laugh, and you even feel humble and no problem. Let them laugh. So, I want to thank you very, very much. I will finish with one saying. Ordinary conditioned souls who are forgetful, please listen, you're a little in the mood of going now. It's in 30 seconds we can go. Ordinary conditioned souls who are forgetful of the activities of the Lord are always full of anxieties and material tribulations. On the other hand, since the devotee always engages in topics of the Lord, they are forgetful of the miseries of material existence. My dear devotees, let us become forgetful, just like the conditioned souls are forgetful of Krishna. Let us remember Krishna and become forgetful of the miseries. I have in my mind Prabhupada, who for 2 weeks went with a swollen swollen cheek, I think we call it. There was a bad tooth, and devotee said, you must go to the dentist. And the Prabhupada said, no, it will come out naturally. He was very tolerant. It was no problem. And so on. Because he's with Krishna. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sisi go nitai ki, go premanandi, Hari Hari Bo, Hare Krishna.